to some verses in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now, dear young people, I have it before me this afternoon to spend a little while tracing something of the history of Lot and of Abraham. I'm sure this is not something new to many of you here. And before we turn to the history of Lot, I thought it well for us to bear these verses in 2 Peter in mind, that the Spirit of God has recorded of Lot that he was just, a righteous man. Now, as we'll notice when we turn over to Genesis in just a moment, there is much in the life of Lot that would give us to question whether this was indeed a righteous man. But the Spirit of God has seen fit to remind us that he was indeed a righteous man. And when we read, we'll have to bear in mind, as a lesson, I trust, to each one of us, particularly those of us who are younger, of just what can happen to a righteous man, one who is truly a child of God, when he starts off on a course that is a departure from what God would have for him. If you turn over with me now to the book of Genesis, chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13 and verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now, if you would just turn back to the beginning of this chapter for a moment, there's one verse there that I would like to read. In the 12th chapter, I should have said, and the 10th verse. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And then the 13th chapter and the 1st verse. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. Now, if I might just take a moment to speak to those of us here that are a little bit older, perhaps some of us who have young children. I believe, dear beloved brethren, that there is a word of warning here for you and I that we would do well to take heed to. We find the time came in the life of Lot. When Lot had to make a choice, he and Abraham were going to separate. And you know that comes in the lives of our children. In the normal course of events, there comes a time when you, as a parent, stop making all their decisions for them, and they start making some, and as they get older, more and more of the decisions for themselves. Well, this time came in the life of Lot, and Lot had to make a choice. And the Word of God tells us that when Lot came to make his choice, he lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. Now here we have a picture, perhaps, of this world, the plain of Jordan, well watered everywhere. So much, dear young people, to attract the eye, as we had before us this morning. But we find that the Word of God adds something. It says, well watered everywhere before. Before what? Well, it says, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. This whole world has suspended over it a sentence of judgment. Right now, it has much to attract to the heart. The well-watered plain. But it carries, beloved young people, a sentence of death. God has appointed a day in the which he will judge this world in righteousness. And the Spirit of God, I believe, brings this before us here in pointing out that the well-watered plain was before. God dealt with it. But as I mentioned in connection with those of us who are parents, we find that when Lot came to make his choice, he was a confused young man. It tells us that when he looked, it says what he saw was even as the garden of the Lord. Even as the garden of the Lord. That which the Lord seemed to have prepared. That which perhaps spoke even of Eden. But then it says that it was like unto Egypt. Like unto Egypt. Now, beloved brethren, and I say this particularly to those of us here that are parents with younger children, who was it that gave Lot a taste of Egypt? Who was it that took Lot down into Egypt and gave him a taste of what was there? Gave him to see what was in Egypt. Then brought him back. And then put Lot in the position of making a choice. Only to find that Lot's heart, confused on spiritual grounds because Abraham had fed him something of both, had fed him something that would speak perhaps to his heart of the garden of the Lord, but at the same time had given him something of Egypt. Oh, beloved brethren, how it speaks to one's own heart. You and I are responsible for those precious souls that have been entrusted to our care, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I say to your heart, and more particularly to mine, are we giving them something of Egypt? Are we bringing into our home into our lives, into the lives of our children, something of Egypt, only then to be horror-stricken when we find that when they come to make their choice, they choose that which they have been given an appetite for by those who were in the position of responsibility. Well, we find Lot makes his choice. He chooses that which was like unto Egypt, and the Word of God tells us that Lot chose all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. You know, it starts off this account by telling us Lot lifted up his eye. I trust we'll come back to that expression in a little while. But when Lot lifted up his eyes, he didn't lift them up very far. All he saw was that which was appetizing to the natural heart. But I haven't a doubt in the world, dear young people, that when Lot started off on his journey east, he had no intention whatsoever of dwelling in Sodom. He simply started east. His heart was attracted by that which his eyes saw. You know, there's a verse in Lamentations chapter 3, I believe it is, where it says, "Mine eye affecteth mine heart." And oh, beloved young people, what our eyes rest upon, what we seek to have our eyes and our minds occupied with, affects our hearts. And our hearts affects our feet. This is what we find in the history of Lot. And the Word of God tells us that after he chose, he started on his journey. Just a little bit of the way into that which was so opposed to God. He journeyed east. But then it tells us, Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. You know, this expression struck me very much in meditating on this portion. Because, you know, beloved young people, we find that when our hearts start to drift off into the world, we don't lose our pilgrim character right away. We find that Lot didn't jump from the mountain with Abraham into the city of Sodom. He starts journeying in that direction. And then the Word of God tells us that he dwelled in the cities of the plain. And yet at the same time it tells us he had a tent. His tent was pitched toward Sodom. He was entering into all that the plain of Jordan stood for. But at least for a while, there seemed to be, outwardly, the character of a pilgrim. And so it is with us. When our hearts get away from the Lord and we start being attracted to the world, it isn't obvious right away what is happening. We know in our own hearts. But perhaps those who we live with, those who we associate with, perhaps those who are in the home gathering where we are, don't seem to notice it right away. The journey has started eastward. But there's still a tent. And then there's the dwelling in the city of the plain. But still a tent. But the tent is getting closer and closer to Sodom. Well, then we find that it tells us he pitched his tent toward Sodom, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. There is no question left to our minds as to where this course is leading. And, dear young people, can I say in love to your soul, you can't flirt with the world and expect to be able to turn back at any time of your own choosing. You can't expect to have such a control over the affections of your own heart, as we will find with Lot, that you can flirt with this kind of a course and think that you control how far you're going to go. Lot started on his journey, pitched his tent, and God showed what the end of that course was. There at Sodom, a wicked city. Now if you would turn over with me to the 14th chapter, it says in the 11th verse, "And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. And they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed." Then if you go down to the 14th verse, "And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the woman also, and the people." Well, we find here that the Lord allows circumstances to come into the life of Lot that should have shown him that he was entirely in the wrong place. That this place, Sodom, was no place for a child of God. And he allows this enemy to come in and take all his goods. And then in his grace through Abraham, he restores it all to Lot. But we find, dear young people, that Lot has learned nothing. He continues to be there where the Lord was so dishonored, where there was such wickedness that it ascended even to heaven. And we find that Lot learned nothing by this circumstance. We find that Abraham is the instrument that is used to recover Lot and all his goods. But Lot doesn't profit by what the Lord allowed in his life. Dear young people, sometimes the Lord does this in our lives too. Brings circumstances into our lives to show us that we don't belong to this world, that we're not part of it, and seeks by circumstances to separate us from this world. You know, as a dear brother that many of us knew and loved dearly, who used to say the Lord would seek to woo us by His love. But when we don't respond to the wooings of His love, sometimes He then seeks to wean us by circumstances. Here we find the Lord seeking to wean Lot away by circumstances, but He doesn't listen. Now if you go on to the 19th chapter, "And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground." The 4th verse. "But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as it is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. The 12th verse. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth, and set him without the city. The 24th verse. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities, and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. The 36th verse. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son, and called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son, and called his name Ben-Ammi, the same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. Now, dear young people, we find here that which is the end of the course when our hearts drift off toward this world. We find that in the case of Lot, he has not only pitched his tent toward Sodom, he now has a house in Sodom. Oh, now he's lost his pilgrim character. Not a tent anymore. Now it's a house. And in his house in Sodom, he has acquired a wife. And in that house, he has also acquired two daughters. And the angels also speak of his sons and of his sons-in-law. We find also that Lot sits in the gate of Sodom. That is, that he had a place of responsibility. He was a judge. He exercised some degree of rule in Sodom. Well, dear young people, what did this all gain for Lot? You know, I've heard Christians, I've had them say it to me. I had one young lady say it to me just a couple of weeks ago, that if we're not going to do something to seek to improve this world, we just might as well not be in it at all. Now, this young lady was a dear child of God. And yet her idea of being of use to the Lord was something like Lot's. You know, Lot, I have no doubt, felt that he could be a real good influence in Sodom. Here he was a judge. But what do we find? Why, we find that when the time came, he couldn't exercise any control whatsoever. He had no power at all to be an influence for good in Sodom. Not at all. He was a child of God, but in the wrong place. But what seems to me even more serious, dear young people, is to find that while Lot is in this course of journeying deeper and deeper into the world,
He acquires a wife whose heart is set upon that world. When it came a time for deliverance to be snatched out of it before the judgment fell upon Sodom, Lot lost his wife. She showed where her heart was, and that was in Sodom. Oh, dear young people, will you pardon me if I seek to speak so pointedly to you on this question? It is such a grief to see young people seeking in to have some kind of place, some kind of association with this world, and then to find that while they're in that course, they pick up a boyfriend or a girlfriend, a wife whose heart is in the world, who wants no part of the pilgrim life at all. This is what happened to Lot. Another expression we often hear is that we can be a great influence as far as the gospel is concerned in the world if we'll simply go down in it. I spoke to one young man years ago who told me that he was going bowling with the friends at the office. And I spoke to that young man about association with the world. And I'll never forget his answer. He said, "John, I go bowling with the fellows at the office so I can preach the gospel to them." Well, today, that dear young man, you wouldn't recognize him as a Christian at all, because he found that he was in the wrong place as a child of God, and he lost his pilgrim character. We find furthermore, in connection with Lot, that Lot didn't change the thinking of the people in Sodom. But you know, dear young people, the people in Sodom changed the thinking of Lot. When we read about the terrible, the appalling offer that Lot made to the people of Sodom concerning his two daughters, willing to turn them over to the people of Sodom, you say to yourself, a righteous man? Oh, dear young people, there he was in Sodom. And instead of Sodom responding to the righteousness of Lot, we find Lot's thinking becoming corrupted by the atmosphere in which he dwelt. And if you and I are going to seek to be occupied with the things of this world, to be involved in its pleasures, in its entertainment, in its wickedness, in business life or in social life, if we're going to have in our homes that which brings the world in, let us not be surprised if we find our thinking and the thinking of our children is corrupted by what we allow to come in amongst us. We find not only this, but last of all, we find that even the two daughters that are delivered out of Sodom, you know, Lot lost everything. Everything. All that he had was gone. Makes us think of the verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 where it speaks about the judgment seat of Christ and the test that will be applied to the wood and the hay and the stubble and the gold and the silver and the precious stones. And it says, speaking of the Christian who has lived for self, it says, he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. Lot was saved. He was delivered out of that wicked city. God destroyed all. Lot was delivered. His two daughters were delivered. But what is so appalling then is to see that even in the two daughters that were delivered, they became through Lot they became the mothers of those who were to be the enemies of God's people. Oh, beloved young people, how faithfully God warns us of what will be the result of a course pursued in this world. You'll be taken to glory if you belong to Christ. But, dear young people, our whole lives can be lost. And what effect it can have on our children and on our children's children if we're going to follow the course of Lot. But let us remember where it started, looking toward the world. Now, if you'll just turn back with me to the 14th chapter of Genesis again, and the 14th verse. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Oh, dear young people, what a contrast we find in Abram. It is true that Abraham undoubtedly failed in going down into Egypt. Now he has been restored. He has that responsibility that he could not escape of having given Lot a taste of Egypt. But now we see in Abram one who retains his pilgrim character. We find that now the Lord says to him, lift up your eyes. Oh, it tells us that Lot lifted up his eyes, and all he saw was that what his heart went after, the things of this world. But the Lord says to Abraham, lift up your eyes and look from the place where thou art, eastward, westward, northward, southward. All this land was his. Everything that God had for him was his to enjoy. All he had to do was walk in it. Walk in it. Arise. Walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it thee. Oh, dear young people, Lot started on a journey. He started on a journey after that which caught his eye. Would to God that you and I were more in a journey through the length and the breadth of all that God has for us. God has so richly blessed us, and every blessing of God is ours. Every blessing, dear young people, is yours if you belong to Christ. You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But if you're going to enjoy it, if you're going to be able to make it your own practically, you're going to have to walk in it through the length of it and the breadth of it. But what did Abram find? While Lot was off finding the plains of Jordan, while Lot was pitching his tent toward Sodom, Abram was dwelling at Mamre, which is in Hebron. You know, the word Mamre means fatness. The word Hebron, according to my Bible here, means alliance, which I take it to be bring before us the thought of communion, the enjoyment in his soul of his relationship with the Lord. And so Abram was dwelling in the place of fatness, in communion with the Lord, with his altar, while Lot was journeying closer and closer to Sodom. We find, as we noticed in the next chapter, that Abram was the one who was used to recover Lot's goods to him. But now I'd like you to go on to the 18th chapter for a moment. The 18th chapter and the first verse. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. Ah, now we find that Abraham is still here in the place of fatness, in the enjoyment of communion, where he has his altar, and he still has his tent. He hasn't given it up yet. He hasn't taken a city. What he has is a tent. He's still a pilgrim and a stranger in the land. But now if you go on to the 9th verse, it says, And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. Oh, you know, dear young people, I love that expression. I'm sure many of us have enjoyed it too. You know, it brings before one's own heart how, in effect, Abraham could say to those ones who asked him where his wife was, he could say, She's a pilgrim just like I am. She's right there in the tent with me. Not so with Lot. You know, Lot went down into Sodom, and there he got a wife. And that was a wife who wanted no part of a tent. She didn't want to even leave Sodom when it was condemned. But Sarah was content to be with Abram in his tent. Dear young people, I know many of you, as you get older, look for a partner in life. You look for someone whom you can share your life with as a husband or as a wife. But oh, beloved young people, are you exercised before the Lord that you might have one that will share your tent, that will be content to walk as a stranger and a pilgrim with you? This is what Abram had. What a contrast to Lot. No pillar of salt here, no looking back, just in the tent, content to be with Abraham, walking the path of a pilgrim while he looked for a city. Now would you turn over with me to the 10th chapter of Hebrews for a moment. The 11th chapter of Hebrews. And the 9th verse. By faith he, that is Abraham, sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The 16th verse. But now they desire a better country that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. We find, dear young people, that in connection with Abraham, he dwelt in the place of fatness as a pilgrim and a stranger. He sojourned in a strange land, but in communion with the Lord. In the case of Lot, Lot lost his sons. What about Abram? Oh, dear friends, we find that the Word of God tells us that he dwelt in tabernacles or in tents with Isaac and Jacob. Isaac and Jacob, his son and his son's son, sharing his pilgrim character with him. He walked with God and his children walked with God with him. Oh, beloved brethren, is this what we seek for our children? Is this what our hearts long after? Well, let us remember, may my heart remember the lesson, the sad lesson that had to be learned in connection with Lot. But here we see the grace of God, Abraham walking as a pilgrim and a stranger, and having his children and his children's children with him in that pathway. We find that he has his wife content to be a stranger and a pilgrim with him. Lot lost his wife. He lost his sons. We find that Abraham is able to command his children after him. What about Lot? Lot was as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. What he was saying and what he was doing was so completely opposed one to the other that he seemed as one that mocked to his sons-in-law. Lastly, we see that Lot got his city. Yes, he got his city. He started on his journey eastward, and he got the city that his eye finally sought after. He ended up in Sodom in a place of prominence there, only to lose it all. To lose it all. What about Abram? Oh, it tells us that Abram, he looked for a city too. But he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He looked for something that was permanent, that God would build. And what about Abraham? Why, it tells us that God has prepared for them a city. Abraham lost nothing. Oh, dear young people, may it speak to your heart and mind. Abraham lost nothing by walking as a pilgrim and a stranger. And all is his now. All is his to have throughout all eternity. God has prepared for them a city. But Lot sought everything here, and he lost it all. He lost his wife. He lost his children. His children dishonored him. His grandchildren were the enemies of God's people. He was one who mocked instead of being a testimony. In his place of prominence, not did his righteousness affect the people of Sodom, but their moral corruption affected him. Oh, beloved young people, may the Lord deliver your heart and mind from this poor world, that like Abraham we might live on the mountaintop with God, in the place of fatness, in the place of communion. And know, dear young people, know that before us is a glory where the righteous judge will manifest everything that has been according to his mind in our lives. But if our hearts are on things here, it can only mean loss. It can only mean sorrow and heartache. And again, beloved brethren, to those of us here that are parents, may we take to heart, may I take to heart, how responsible I am for allowing anything into my family that is going to give my children a taste of Egypt. You know, as a pilgrim and as a stranger, there isn't room for the things in this world. There isn't room. Abraham didn't have room in his tent for all that the king of Sodom wanted to give him. You'll pardon me just taking a moment. Just on this trip here, my youngest son made an observation when we were coming across the United States. We stopped at one place and went into a store. And he asked me, he said, couldn't we buy a gym set while we were in the store? And I had to tell him that much as that might look like a good idea, in our car we had no place for a gym set. Well, dear young people, if you and I recognize that we're strangers and pilgrims and living in a tent, we will also recognize that there is no room for all that this world has to offer, that the Lord of glory fills the tent. Could we just ask God's blessings?